The Lord didn't give me a long message today, and He's really spoke to us about so much that's already in the message. Woo! Thank you, Lord. We needed that, church. We needed to know that the heavens are open over us. God is pouring out upon us. Thank you, Jesus. And we have no reason to fear. Thank you, Lord. So if everybody's got what they need, if you can just settle back in your seats and we'll pray and open up our heart to what the Word is telling us this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence today. Lord, I thank you. You have prepared our hearts for the planting of your Word today. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is spirit and it's life. I decree and declare spirit and life over every person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read Luke 12, 32 to 34. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So point number one, we do not fear because God is our shepherd. He calls us his little flock. And that word little flock is a phrase that would be a phrase of endearment and tenderness and warmth and care for us. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. James used Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. You see, the shepherd takes care of his sheep. The shepherd checks out the sheep. He makes sure that they're healthy. He makes sure they have what they need. And if they're wounded or whatever's going on, the shepherd knows. And the shepherd takes care of that. And so God is our Father. And we don't have to fear because he's our shepherd. He protects us. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep into green pastures, gives them good stuff to eat, naturally and spiritually. Nobody came in here hungry this morning, and if you did, there were donuts. Hallelujah. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so the question I'd ask you, do you really believe that? You know, when one person gives their heart to the Lord, all the heavens rejoice. Have you ever thought about what that sounds like? when all the angelic beings in the heavenlies begin to rejoice because one person comes to the Lord. You're that valuable. And if one of us goes astray, the scripture tells us that the shepherd leaves the rest of the flock to go get that one. Goes to get the one that has gone astray. So God actually pursues us. Do you see that? You're his child. He loves you. He's your shepherd and he will pursue you. He will watch over you. He'll protect you. And I have an illustration. A certain Native American tribe had a rite of passage for their teenage boys. And at age 13, a boy would be blindfolded and led to a certain spot in the woods. He'd be forced to sit down while the men of the tribe returned to their camp. The boy would be required to sit all night with his blindfold in place. He was forced to listen to the frightening sounds of the night. And once he felt the warmth of the sun, as it rose up from the east, he was allowed to remove his blindfold. And the first thing he saw when he removed it was his father sitting across from him. Because the boy's father would sit with him all night, protecting him from the animals of the wilderness, yet he was not seen by his son. So when he took the blindfold off, he realized his dad had been there the whole time. And you see, that's the way it is with us. Sometimes we're not aware that God is watching over us, that God is with us. But if God would just pull back the curtain, we would see that he is there with us. He's taking care of us. He's protecting us, watching over us. Let's go to point number two. We do not fear because God is our Father. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we're not only his little flock, we are also his children, and he is our Father. It is the Father's good pleasure. We have different ideas about who God is, and we've formed different opinions over the years about what Father God is like, and I believe it's a revelation that keeps growing on the inside of us, what our Heavenly Father's really like. But I just wanted to share with you a study that Baylor University did, and they identified four views that people had of God. And they said of the people they interviewed, 31.4% believe in an authoritarian God, a God who is angry at humanity's sins. 23% believe in a benevolent God who is forgiving and accepting of anyone who repents. 16% believe in a critical God, one who has a judgmental eye on the world, and he's not going to intervene, and he's not going to punish, and he's not going to comfort. 24.4% believe in a distant God, who is more of a cosmic force that launched the world and just left it spinning on its own. And so these were the views of people. But we need to understand that God's love is unconditional, and he hasn't left us alone, and Jesus accepts us as we are. We come as we are, right? Every day we present ourselves as we are. And William Barclay tells a story. William Barclay is a theologian. And he tells the story of a young boy who is seated by his dad in a worship service. And this little boy is really trying to stay awake. And he keeps nodding off. And out of the corner of his eye, he sees his father abruptly raise his arm. And the little boy braced himself, thinking that his dad was going to hit him to keep him awake. But to his surprise, his dad put his arm around him and drew him close and looked down at him and winked at him. And the boy said, "I saw my father in a different light that day and went to sleep in his arms." So we do not need to fear because God is our Father. We're his children. We're his little flock, and he is embracing us this morning. He embraces us today. Can you feel his embrace? You can just nestle into him and rest. And maybe you've not experienced the comfort of God like that before. Maybe what happened today, you've not experienced that. But this is our Father God. We're before his throne of grace. It's important to know and understand what is happening in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is more real than what the natural realm is. And often people ignore it and just go their way. However, you can do that, but if you will embrace and allow God to show you the things of His kingdom. You see, His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. He's our Father, and He wants to give us the kingdom. Well, the kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. So to operate and function in the kingdom of God, we need the Spirit of God. And we need to understand the things of the Spirit. Because the things that we see are not, but the things that we don't see is what's important. That's what's important. And God will show you. He doesn't withhold anything from us. Today, the Lord released spiritual vision into you. Every one of you were quickened and awakened in your spirit. I know many of you see in the spirit, but the Lord took us to another level of being able to see and to understand and to know what He is doing in this time and season, because we need to know. We need to know. We should be people in the know. The world is looking for an answer, church. And so we have that answer because we have a Father who wants to give us the kingdom. So let's do point number three. We do not fear because God is our King. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, He can give us the kingdom because He's the King. He's the King. Who has the final say? The King has the final say. The kingdom functions and operate according to the King's words. And that's why it is so important that we know the Word of God, that we know the promises of God, so that we can be alive and functioning in the kingdom. Because we cannot go by what we see. We cannot go by the circumstances that we are facing. And we're all facing something. There is always a hardship in life. There's a test. There's a trial. There's a situation that we're going through. But God. But God. You see, we're from another kingdom. Then the King has the final say, and I don't have to fear. God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. You see, a shepherd. Can we go on to the next slide? Should be next slide. All right. A shepherd connotes protection and provision. He's always with us. He's watching over us. When we're afraid, He's there. If we could take the blindfold off, if we could see, we would know He was with us. Father connotes love and tenderness and authority and provision and guidance. You see, I believe that the world has devalued men and fathers. And there's a purpose in that. It's a demonic purpose, so that the Father God is devalued. Because our fathers help represent to us our Heavenly Father. And so if we can do away with fathers in our culture, then we can do away with God. Because God designed for us to have fathers. That is how we get into this world. We need a mom and we need a dad. He created male and He created female. No confusion there. It's male and it's female. Nothing about gender in the Bible. God created them male and female. And we need a father. A father watches over. A father teaches. A father guides, protects. We just celebrated Father's Day. And Father's Day can be difficult for some people. And because we miss our dads or we didn't have a good relationship with our dads. And I just want to encourage you, if you had a good relationship with your dad, then cherish every memory and every thought that you have of your dad, because there are people sitting here today that wish they would have had that. So we all come from a different place when we start talking about fathers, but we cannot deny what the Word of God says about male and female, about mothers and fathers. If you read the book of Proverbs, it's about a father talking to his son, giving him wise instruction. Most of it is written as a father talking to a son, teaching them about life, laying foundations and principles in their life that they need to live, to make good choices, decisions. Fathers are important. Father God is so important. If you didn't have a relationship with your natural father, you can have one with your heavenly father. You know, I remember when my father passed away, I was in fifth grade, and I remember thinking, who's going to take care of us? That was my first thought as a child. It was like, well, who's going to take care of us? Everyone I knew had a mom and dad. And I'm thinking, God, how could you do this to me? You took away my dad. Why me? Why couldn't it have been somebody else? Why'd you take my dad? You know, and I had this conversation with God, and who's going to take care of me? Well, I found out who would take care of me. My Father God took care of me. And He made sure there were people in my life to father me. You see, fathering's an anointing also. You've heard Apostle Leon teach about that. It's an anointing. Fathering is an anointing. And you can have spiritual children that you father. We have a large majority, and I don't have all the statistics, of children that are growing up in homes without fathers. And the results that happen from not knowing their father. It's important that as a child, if you don't have a father in your home, that you know Father God. And that you're connected with the body of Christ, because there are spiritual dads there. So father connotes love and tenderness and authority and provision and guidance, our Heavenly Father. King connotes power and sovereignty and wealth. He has the power and authority to do what He said He would do. He can do it. He can do it. That's where our hope is. You know, that's where our confidence is. God can do it. Who has the final say? He does. His promises can be carried out in my life because He has the final say. I have no reason to fear. Let's go to 4. We do not fear because God is generous. He's a generous dad. He gives us the kingdom. So He's generous and free with His riches. And His riches are eternal. Amen. The scripture tells us to lay up treasures in heaven where the moths and the rust or the thief cannot steal them. So understanding, we're laying up eternal treasures in heaven, which means we are connected spirit to spirit. Because the spirit is the only thing that's eternal, right? And so as we give to others, as we give unto the Lord, as we do service for others and acts of kindness for others, as we encourage other people, do you see you're making deposits in people? You know, our desire is to build people, to strengthen you. I pray that each one of you are strengthened in the Lord. That's what Apostle Leonard and I pray for each one of you, that you are strengthened in the Lord, that you know your Father, because He'll take care of you. I remember when we planted our church, it was in the first year, and we had so many people with so many needs. And going to the Lord in prayer, the Lord spoke to me and said, your responsibility is to lift up the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, if I be high and lifted up in your praise and in your preaching, I'll draw people to me. He said, your responsibility is to make me famous. It's your responsibility to keep my name high and lifted up, to reverence me. Hallowed be thy name. And he said, and if you'll do that, I will meet all of the needs of the people that come into this place. Because he is the one. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the light. He is the door. He's the gate. You know, when we come to the Lord, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are added unto you. And he wants to give us the kingdom. He doesn't lease it to us. He doesn't loan it to us. He doesn't make us pay rent on it. He wants to give it to us. So will you receive it, is the question. Will you receive it and walk in it? Thy kingdom come. You see, you called for the kingdom to come into your situations this morning. And Father, we agree and decree that your kingdom is in the situation right now. Whatever situation that was, we agree that the kingdom's in there right now. It's not coming to it. It's there. Tell someone, it's there. It's there. We ask and we will receive in Jesus' name. He's generous. He wants to give it to you. All right. Let's go on to... Do we have another point? We do. We do not fear because God is pleased to take care of us. God wants to take care of us. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And whatever's in your heart, that's where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You see, where our treasure is, those are the things we desire, the things that we value. And it's not about how much we can accumulate in this life. It isn't about the material things that we own. It isn't about how nice you dress. You know, yesterday I was with Holly, and Holly said she couldn't remember a time that her mom just didn't dress her to the hilt to get to church. And I said, I did that with all my girls too. It's like we knew how to put it on and get to church. But it's not about that. You know, when we planted an inner city church, I was amazed at how many people said, oh no, I can't go to church because I don't have the right kind of clothes. And isn't that sad that we think we cannot come into the house of God to worship a living, loving God because we don't have the right clothes on? Come on. It's like, Lord, I always told our church, don't condemn me because I like to dress up. And I'm not going to get after you because you don't, okay? We just have to have this agreement. And it was tough for me. I was sharing with Holly and Brianna yesterday. I said, it was difficult for me because honestly, at first I'm thinking, could you have at least, like, it looks like you just mowed the grass. Could you have at least, like, changed your shoes or put on a clean shirt or something? And then I had to repent for being judgmental. Come on. Because we can look at the outward appearance. You know, I should have just been happy that they made it. You know, they might have had to get that lawn mowed because they had gotten a ticket from the city and they were going to get a fine and they had to get that done, but they wanted to get to church. You see, we don't know what's going on in people's lives. But we're laying up treasures in heaven. So when we help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, send somebody a card, speak life into someone, we are imparting and releasing a blessing And you know, as we bless others, God blesses us. God blesses us, and we want to bless others. We want to give away. We want to give to others. We want to help them. As a family, I love our family. We're ready to help one another. You know, we might be a small church, what's considered a small church. We're a small church in a large facility. We're a smaller congregation, but you know, over 90% of the churches in America are a smaller congregation. You know, I think 90% are under 250 maybe. Might be 85% are under 100. Out of that 90%, then 85% are under 100. So it's not unusual. But how you measure a church is not by the size. God measures the church by, are we preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Are we teaching, training, and activating the saints to do the work of the ministry? And are we demonstrating love to one another and love to others? And that's what measures us. And I would believe that God looks down at River of Life and says, that's a great church. It's a great church. I was talking with Jay, and I was telling him, I said, you know, it might be a smaller group, but it's a great group. It's not about the number, but it's about how can we together impact and reach one another's into one another's life on this journey of life, and in that reach out to others. Because I'm a firm believer that you take care of your house first. Right? You take care of your family first. I've met people who want to take care of everybody else's families and leave their own neglected. That is not what we're to do. We're to take care of our own families. And then we reach out to others. And the wonderful thing is being able to reach out to others as a family. That's a beautiful thing when you can do that. And that's what we do here. As a family, we reach out because we know our Father, and we know that when we reach out, we're impacting eternity. We'll be hosting, talking about reaching out. The IMA is having some evangelism training, and that's going to be here on Saturday morning, the 13th and the 20th of July. So if you're in town and you're interested in evangelism, I encourage you to come on out those mornings. I believe it starts at 10, I think, 10. I'll let you know for sure. But working together to reach our community. And that's who we are. That's what we do. And so I encourage you to join us with that. Apostle Leonard, he doesn't actively minister in the church as far as teaching goes, but he is out in the community almost every day. And he's connected with people in the community, reaching the souls in the community. He invites lots of people to church. He's always a little disappointed that they're not here. But what we learned is you work in the kingdom, you plant seeds, and God directs them where he wants them to go. It's not about the numbers that we're trying to build our numbers. We'd like to build our numbers, but that's not what it's about. It's about building the kingdom of God. It's about working together with other bodies of Christ so that we can impact our community. I believe we should work smart and not so hard, right? And so as you connect together, you connect forces, you can do a greater reach. Because the IMA has a revival in August every year. And some of you went to the revival last year, but they do have a revival every year. And this year we're going to have it down at Roosevelt Park. And so I encourage you, if you can get in here for that evangelism training, we're going to train for about an hour, and then we're going to hit the streets. And we're excited about that because that's how we've begun. That's how we began And we want to continue to do that because that's God's heart. When we planted the church, he said, go out into the highways and the byways and bid them to come. So we've had lots of words. People would be lined up at the doors waiting to get in. But we haven't seen that happen yet. So in the meantime, we'll get out in the highways and byways and bid them to come. You know, he told us to go out and invite them. Whether or not they come is not our issue. You know, it's not our responsibility. But it is our responsibility to release the kingdom. And so I encourage you, 13th and 20th, if you're in town on those Saturdays. I know July is a busy month, and it's full of family activities, and that's why we take Wednesday night off in July, so that families have a chance to get away and just enjoy the summer. They're pretty short around here. And we wondered if summer would ever get here, right? But I think it's here. I think it's here. But on the calendar, it says it's here, but the weather doesn't necessarily agree with that. But anyway, God is our Father. He's watching over us, and he's generous to us. And so I pray that you've seen the Heavenly Father in a new way today. And I pray that what we experience together spiritually just continues to grow. Continues to grow.